Today's Bible reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, from verse 2 to verse 5. The people walking in darkness, on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire.
Please leave your Bibles open there at Isaiah chapter 9. Father God, we pray that you would guide us this morning. As we reflect on the message of Isaiah 9, as we celebrate the good news that you sent your one and only Son to deliver us from our own sin, guilt and rebellion. We pray, Lord, that you would guide us as we contemplate the meaning of these words. We pray that we would not leave here unchanged, that we would not leave just as mere smarter sinners, but that we would be being conformed by your Holy Spirit into the likeness of your Son. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it feels a bit hard to believe, really, that it was only a bit over 12 months ago that we were in all sorts of dust storms. Maybe after harvest we'll be back in them, who knows? But around 12 months ago I was driving down the new highway, only to be hit by this incredible dust storm with topsoil ripping off the paddocks. And as I drove down the Newell at 110 k's an hour, there was moments where I couldn't see a thing. It was an incredible dust storm, biggest one I've ever been through. But compared to a dust storm that hit a highway just near California, that dust storm wasn't all that much to talk about. On the 30th of November 1999, a dust storm hit a freeway in California. And this dust storm was so severe that it completely blinded a section of the freeway. According to all reports, the topsoil was so thick and so dark, it put the freeway into utter darkness. There were 80 kilometer hour winds that ripped the topsoil up and put it into the air. And sadly, as motorists went down the freeway, finding themselves completely blinded, cars, buses and trucks all began to collide. A trail of twisted and burning vehicles could be seen after the dust had cleared for 5 kilometres. And even greater than that, 90 metres off the road, there were wrecks. Sadly, as the dust sent all these drivers into utter darkness, motorists drive one after the other blindly into disaster. The kids' chat this morning was really, really good. I was great watching Tim trying to hold that bar. That was a highlight. But there was a moment there where he was wrapped with that towel, wasn't it? Where he was completely blinded. Have you ever walked around your own house at night time without trying to turn on a light? You know your own house. You know the layout of every room. You know where your furniture is. You're familiar with that place. But in the dark, it only takes one thing out of place or a bit of Lego on the floor and you're bound to run into it, aren't you? Or step on it, in the case of Lego. Darkness is blinding. It stops those who are being blinded by it from seeing the danger that is right there in front of them. Dangers that are obvious to those who are living in the light. Now, I'm sure we all have friends and family members, co-workers and associates who don't know the Lord. And we often see them prioritize things that lead them away from the light rather than toward it. We see them chasing after financial security, as though that is the thing that is going to save them. And we see them escaping into hobbies, alcohol, and sex to try and cover up their pain. And we know that without the hope of Jesus in their lives, they will continue to keep wandering around in the darkness. Just like Tim was blinded, they had no way of seeing. And sadly, even though we've seen the light, even though we've experienced the mercy of Christ, we too are tempted all the time by the world around us, tempted to be drawn back into the darkness. We too forget that we are people of the day and not of the night. We too are tempted to find our things, our security in the things of this life. We have a tendency to want to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak. Our priorities get out of order and we lose our way in the darkness. But this morning, we are being reminded that the true light, which gives light to all men, has come into the world. So this morning, we're going to have a temporary diversion over the next few weeks away from the book of Luke. I don't know why we went with the leak. As we look at chapter 9 of Isaiah in the lead up to Christmas. Now, as we look at these verses, we'll see that this is a message of hope in the middle of a whole heap of messages of judgment. And so it's important for us to think about how this fits into the message of Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet of the Lord, and the Lord had sent Isaiah to proclaim a message of judgment to a people who had constantly rebelled, who had constantly gone the other way, a people who were wandering around in the darkness. Israel and Judah were about to be judged by God, and God was going to use the Gentiles, the non-Jews, to do it. God was getting ready to send the Assyrians and then later the Babylonians to send his people into captivity. And so Isaiah was sent to preach this message of judgment. And this message of judgment was meant to turn their hearts back to the Lord. It was meant to convict them of their sin. But they didn't turn back. They loved the darkness more than the light. The way that seemed right to them was leading them directly towards destruction. They just couldn't see it. They were blinded by the darkness. But in the middle of these words of judgment, God also gives his people a message of hope, a reminder that God is faithful to his promises, even when his people are not. Verses 2 and 3 says these words. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. And these words look forward to the day when God's plan of salvation will be brought out into the light. They reveal God's mercy in that while they were still blind to all that he had done for them and was doing for them, he was still at work redeeming, saving his people, providing them with this message of hope. A message of hope that did not depend on their faithfulness, but on God's faithfulness to his people. I started this morning's service with Psalm 23, a psalm that speaks also of the valley of the shadow of death. Psalm 23 speaks about this hope in these words. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. This is the certain hope that God has provided, the certain salvation that depends on God and not on us, the assurance that he will never leave us or forsake us. Over and over and over again. God's people had promised to obey God's laws. And sadly, over and over and over again, they had fallen short. And their sin and shame had separated them from God. But in these verses, God is giving his people a reason for hope. Hope that isn't based on optimism, but on God's faithfulness to his promises. That God will enlarge his nation, his people, and increase their joy. That God's people will rejoice as people rejoice at harvest. Now, for some of us, the idea of finishing harvest is still a little while off. Breakdowns and rain and all of those kinds of things going on. But when all the work is done, when the crop is finally in the silos, there is a reason to rejoice, isn't there? And the end of verse says, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. Now, hopefully none of us have had an opportunity to divide up the plunder lately of things that we might have taken for ourselves. But these verses are providing us with an image of receiving wages that we have not worked for or earned, a gift of God's blessing. So great that it takes away our blindness and leads us out into the light. Then in verses 4 and 5, Isaiah says, for as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. Now the battle that's in view here is the battle of Judges chapter 7. When God raised up a deliverer, a judge, he raised up Gideon. Now, if you remember that historical account, God didn't save his people with 30,000 men. No, he sent those away. He didn't save his people with 10,000. No, he sent those away. But with a measly 300. And that's because it wasn't even the 300 who delivered Israel that day. It was the Lord who turned their enemies, the Midianites, against themselves. What Isaiah is describing in these verses is a deliverer who will bring peace. And there'll be no more oppression, no more yokes of burden. That burden that we saw Tim trying to carry, that is taken off his shoulders. There is no more weapons of war. There were wars after Gideon's battle, of course, with the Midianites. And there are wars even to this day. There have been wars ever since. There are wars after World War I, the so-called war to end all wars. But through the great light that God was getting ready to send into the world, there will be peace for all who trust in him. These words point forward to the day when Christ will wipe every tear from our eyes, when there will be no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. These words point forward to Jesus. As John chapter 1 verse 9 tells us, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Every Sunday when we meet together, whether it's on Zoom or whether it's in person, we meet together to be encouraged by the good news of Jesus and to remember that we who once lived in darkness have now seen a great light. But at Christmas time, we pay special attention to the birth of Jesus, the point in human history when God entered our world in the form of a man. He took on flesh for us. The time when the true light that gives light to mankind entered his creation. I don't think I need to tell any of you that this world is full of darkness. There is pain and suffering all around us. There are broken relationships, sickness, death. There are all sorts of things going on all the time. All around us, there are people who are longing for a hope that can only be found in Jesus, but who are walking around in darkness. And that's what makes Christmas good news of great joy for all mankind. Because through Jesus, there is hope. 1 John verses 1 to 7 says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." In Jesus, the true light, there is hope. The certain hope of life beyond the darkness, beyond this broken, fallen world. The knowledge that no matter what we are going through at the moment or will be going through in the future, we do not have to go through it alone. The joy of knowing that our sins have been forgiven, that we are no longer separated from God. And even though we still are living in this fallen world, we are still going through the valley of the shadow of death. We too have a role in sharing this light and this hope. As Jesus says in Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Jesus entered his creation to bring light into an otherwise dark and broken place. And now, as those who have seen this light and believed in him, we are called to live as people of the light. People who know the way of salvation and who are not stumbling around in the darkness, who are not following those who don't know Christ. In fact, we are called to shine the light of Jesus so brightly that those who don't know him see us, see our lives, and they give God the glory. When Isaiah prophesied these words, he was speaking to a people who had lost their way. They had begun to start walking around in the darkness all over again. And yet these were a people who had seen so much of God's power, so much of God's mercy displayed in their lives. But they still went back to wandering in the darkness. If we are a people who hold on to a private faith in Jesus, then how are those in our community, how are our friends and family who don't know Jesus, how are they going to see the light of Christ? The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. The light of Christ has entered the world. And even though there is lots of brokenness and pain and suffering all around us, we know that there is. Even though that is still there, now that Jesus has entered our world, now that we have seen the true light, our world can never be the same. In Christ, we have received a living hope through his death and resurrection, a hope that shines through the darkness of any situation. When we grieve, we do not grieve as those without hope, because we know that this life is not the end. When we face sickness and financial hardships and all sorts of frustrations and hardships in this life, all sorts of things that weigh us down, we do not face those things as people without hope. We do not face those things like those who are walking around in the darkness. We are people of the day. We know God is with us and has a plan for us now and into eternity. Therefore, as those who have seen this great light, may we shine the light of Christ. May we live in the light of all that he has done for us. May we not get caught up in following the ways of this world, getting caught up in all of the consumerism, all of the chasing after earthly things. May we avoid building our own kingdom here on this earth. May we instead take every opportunity that this Christmas season provides, because it provides many opportunities to speak about Jesus. May we take those opportunities to share the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, to boldly speak about church, about our church family, about the good news of Jesus, to avoid the sanitizing or missing out on leaving the church stuff out. May we be bold in the way we proclaim the light of Jesus. May we live in the light as our Saviour is in the light. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your incredible mercy, that while we were still running from you, that while we were still your enemies in our own minds, you came into the world. You suffered and died for our sake so that we could be in relationship with you, so that we could be called sons and daughters of the living God, heirs in your kingdom. Lord, we have been given such a great gift. We admit, Lord, we confess that we so often forget how great the gift that we have been given is. We so often head back to the darkness. Lord, we pray that you would help us to boldly live for Jesus, to boldly live for you. Help us, Lord, as people of the light, to shine your light for your glory, Lord, and for your name's sake we pray. Amen.